الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Continue on the explanation of the book of servitude by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah at the point on page 9, at the end of page 9. The author says another type of this people allege tahqiq and ma'rifa, and they claim that the command and prohibitions is binding for the one who witnessed for himself actions and affirms for himself attributes. As for the one who witnessed that these actions are created, or that he is compelled to do such, and that Allah controls him in the same way that he manages all other moving things, in such a case, this person is not accountable to the command and prohibition and to the promise or threat. Here the author continues to talk about the Jabriya as the ones that would take the Qadr and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do witness that there is the Sharia, Shari'a of Allah, and they would look at the matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything, and Allah willed everything, and everything that happens on this life is managed and controlled by Allah, and they don't look into the legislative side of it, that Allah commanded us to do things and prohibited us from other things, and that we should do what Allah commanded and what Allah has prohibited. And in that case, they would equate between the one that's been commanded and the one that's not being commanded for, and they say everything that was willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't have much to do in changing it. And as we said, the universal fact about this has been classified by the author into five different types. The first type, if we go to page 29, they said those the one that will witness the Allah, the universal understanding that Allah is the one who command, and they would do things following his command. And they are the one who go to the extreme. And they go to the extreme, and they take the decree of Allah as everything that they have no will on, Allah commands, and everything that is happening is due to Allah command. And based on that, they would equate between everyone that does good or evil, and they say it's all willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should not be blamed for what they do as far as wrong. That's the first type. The second class, and the second type, they do subclassify the decree of Allah into two types. And they all believe that Allah is the creator of everything. And and they believe that those who have this understanding are the ones that are not accounted for what they do, and they are not obligated to do things. And there is the other type, which are the general, not the elite type of the people, but these are the general type, and these are the ones who would do things, and they would give credit to themselves that they did it. And they would say that the command and prohibition by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for those who would do things on their own and they do things from their own will. And the next type is the elite type, and these are the type that would believe that everything is being created by Allah, and their deeds are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah has control of everything that is moving and everything that's happening, and they do not give themselves any part in what is going on, and they say everything is run by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once they get to that level, they think that everything now is whatever they do in that regard is considered obedience and worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say they are not going to be blamed for what they did or accounted for what they did. And they are not going to be subjected to the accountability or to... And they claim that the one who has witnessed the will, then there would be no accountability upon them. And they claim that al-Khidr taklif has been removed from him, or accountability has been removed from al-Khidr, because he had witnessed the will. Because al-Khidr, as we know, he killed the young boy, and that was against the rule and law of Musa alayhi salam. That al-Khidr made the hole or punctured the hole into the ship, and that was also breaking the law of the time, and they said because of that al-Khidr is considered that he was somebody who witnessed the will, and therefore taklif or accountability has been removed from him, so he's not going to be blamed or accountable for what he did. But the meaning of this is that al-Khidr himself was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah did reveal to him, to al-Khidr, and Ibn Abbas said in the story of Musa and Khidr, that Ibn Abbas said, and he was narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Musa gave a speech at the Bani Israel, or the Israelites, and he gave a speech among Bani Israel, and one person from the audience asked him who was the most knowledgeable person of the time, and Musa said me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did blame Musa for this, that he should attribute knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah knows who is that more knowledgeable than Musa that existed. And Musa did not say Allah knows the best when he was asked that question. Then Allah revealed to Musa that you need to look for this servant of mine between the two seas, and he said, oh Allah, how can I get to him? When Musa came to know that there is this person or servant of Allah that has knowledge that Musa himself didn't have, He asked, Musa asked Allah, how can I get to this person? And this story continues until the Prophet ﷺ said, when Musa went to see Al-Khidr, he met him at the junction of the two seas. When they met there, there was a bird. This bird came and flew down into the water and picked a sip of water from it. And Khidr said to Musa, Allah gave me knowledge that you didn't know, and Allah gave you knowledge that I don't have. And the knowledge I and you have will diminish from Allah's knowledge like that sip of a drop of water that was picked by the birds from the sea. Allah's knowledge being like the ocean or that sea, and the knowledge that was taken from it by Musa and Al-Khidr is like that drop of water that was taken by the bird. So the point here is that Al-Khidr had knowledge that Musa didn't have. So Musa and Al-Khidr therefore was a prophet of Allah that Allah revealed to him, and he had knowledge. Because at the end he said, I didn't do it out of my own, but it was something that was taught to me by Allah. But he didn't do it out of his own will or his own conclusion. It's Allah that revealed it to him, and he acted upon what Allah told him to do. And this story, I mean, we have to take this as a support against those who would say that Khidr witnessed the will and therefore he is not accountable for what he said or did. The Prophet ﷺ said, every prophet was sent to a group of people, a specific community, but I have been sent to all mankind. So Allah sent him to all mankind. And Allah sent him to all mankind and to both the jinn and humans. And nobody will have the right to act outside of the Sharia or the rule or the law that Allah has revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the windows or doors or gates that people will open to come up with innovations and things that are not right, they take the story of Al-Khidr as support for their claims, etc. And many people will do things that they just make them from their own and they claim that these are from the Sharia, etc. And the point here, there is no one that would have the right or even the claim to do things outside of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then those who have divided people into two types, and they said they are the Khawas, the special group, and those are the people that are the ones that are not going to be accountable for what they do, and they're not going to be accountable for what they say. And they are not commanded to do things. And they claim that Allah will reveal to them things. And they say that my heart told me from my Lord this and that. Thank you. And they would say that, I mean, for the people who follow the Sunnah, and they say that this is what narrated by this person through this, up to the Prophet ﷺ. And they say all these people are making their claims out of from dead beings and not from people that are existing around at this point. And the Sharia or the legislative rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be the standard. Hence those people differentiate between the masses and the elite who witness the universal reality, the witness that Allah is the creator of the actions of the slaves, and He wills the govern and governs. So this claim that they did say that Allah is the creator of the actions and Allah is the creator of the slaves and He wills and governs, all these are truths that they are saying, but their intention is to support something that was not the truth behind this. And they take these truths, they take them to justify their wrongdoings. They may differentiate between the one who simply knows that and between the one who sees that by witnessing. They do not remove the taklif from one who simply believes in it and knows it only. But they remove it from the one who witnessed that, whereby he does not see himself as having any actions at all. Who are the people that of the haqiqa? Who are the people of the truth that they are, that would be above the command? If they do know that everything is created by Allah and everything is controlled by Allah, they just know that, but they don't witness it. They just like our sight, that we can see things. We can see things. We can realize things. And also, I mean, our hearing can sense it, but it will not see it. For example, there is a country called China. We hear about it. Did we see it? We know it is in the east part of the on the earth, and unless the person go there and see it, I mean, then you just know about it by hearing. But at the same talking, there are things that you see them by your eye. Like if a place where you saw it or you grew up in it, you have both the knowledge of hearing and seeing it. So now, even the existence of the creation of Allah, there are things that you would know about them just by hearing, but you never saw them or witnessed them. And they say that, you know, the heart also has its own sense and it can witness things. And that's what they're trying to say here is not valid. You know, the heart, yes, it has a sense of realizing Allah and believing in Allah. But it's not an organ that can be used to do things that are over the norm and realizing things that other people cannot do or see. And regardless of what the heart is, I mean, still the slave is of Allah is commanded to abide by Allah's Sharia and rules and laws.
فقال ولكن يثبتونه عمن يشتمه فلا يرى من اخيه فعلا
And again, they may differentiate between the one who simply knows that and between the one who sees that by witnessing. So seeing and knowing is versus hearing also, only. The action of the slaves actually are the thing that which were being executed by the person of the person. For example, the Mashaira, they believe that they say Allah is the doer of everything. They said that the human is somebody that is created by Allah or was done by Allah. And the Jabriya, they eliminate all the actions from themselves. And they say that everything is done by Allah. These people declare al-jabr and the affirmations of al-qadr as an obstacle to enjoining of taklif from this angle. A number of groups that are attributed to tahqiq, understanding, and tawheed have fallen into this. And those people do not take the jabr or the qadr as an obstacle to enjoining the taklif from Allah subhanahu from this angle. As the author mentioned that he mentioned that some of the people who look at the qadr, the decree of Allah, as an obstacle of the taklif or of the responsibility on the human side. That so there are a group of there are many number of groups that have fallen into this. They have fallen into this. And the reason behind this is that their comprehension was too narrow to understand the fact that the abd can be commanded with some things that opposes what has been decreed for him. It's a typo in there, so. And that the abd can be commanded with some things that oppose what he has been decreed for him, just as the comprehension of the Mu'tazila and their likes from Al-Qadariyah was too narrow to understand that. And now their thinking has narrowed into this concept that the servant, I mean, there are things that have been commanded for him to do, and there are things that have been decreed upon that to happen on him. For example, they say, for example, the one who is obedient to Allah, and versus the one who is not obedient, would the fasiq, the one who is not obedient for Allah, how would Allah decree for him not to do the right thing? And there is complication there, confusion there. And they say, for example, Allah decreed things upon His servant, and then Allah concealed it. Allah did not disclose it to them. For example, they say, you don't know if Allah decreed for you to obey or disobey Him.
أوحي إلى الإنسان الله كتب عليه في اللوح المحفوظ كذا
And they know that they say Allah has already recorded what is going to happen to the servant. And they say that by the same talking, Allah has given the human the will to do things, where they have the will when they have options to do things. And the actions of the servant of Allah, whether it's obedience of Allah or disobedience, these are done by the control of the humans. It's unlike the involuntary or the uncontrollable actions like the pulses of the heart or some of the actions that we have no control on them on our body. For example, like the heart, I mean, it is an organ that exists and it contracts and expands and contracts and you have no control, you have no option on how it runs and how it works. And you're not going to be accountable for how it functions or how it malfunctions. So, but when it comes to the actions of the deeds and the wills, that's what the person has to be accounted for. And the person cannot claim that, I mean, he's being compelled to go and do the wrong deeds. Or it's not like a person who's being fully chained and taken by force to do an evil deed. Person would go and do this out of his own will, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make them accountable for that. Allah will make us accountable for the will that we, and the intention we had and as we did these actions or deeds. And they would claim that, you know, it's decreed for you, you don't know what's going to happen to you. If you do good, then that's been decreed for you. If you do evil, then that's been decreed for you as well. That's what they say. And that's basically the problem of this group in which they say that the abd can be commanded with something that opposes what he has been decreed for him, just as the comprehension of al-Mu'tazila. And Mu'tazila, when they failed to see how a person would be commanded to do something and yet it will be decreed that he will do otherwise, they could not see that happening how. And they said Allah did not will they said Allah never will the disobedience. And they said that's the servant who is the one who actually exited from the will of Allah. And they failed to see how Allah can command with something and yet the decree of Allah would be that the person will do something different. And they say if the person actually did not obey, then that person basically is now outside of the will of Allah. So and that's how they try to explain it. And the Mu'tazila and their likes from the Qadariyah, they said the same. But the Jabariyah, they said that, you know, the disobedience is controlled by Allah. So now we have two groups. They wanted to get to a point that the person would be commanded by something, and what happens, how can we combine the two? And the Jabriya, they said, since the servant will do disobedient to Allah, then that disobedient is something that's been commanded upon him. and it's been something that's been forced on him. And the Mu'tazila on the other side, they did affirm that Allah command, but anything that would come which has come in as a disobedient, then they say that's outside of the will of Allah. And the Jabriya on the other hand, they say if the person disobey Allah, then that's a decree of Allah upon him. Thereafter, the Mu'tazila affirm the legal command and prohibition without affirming al-qadr and al-qada, which are the general will of Allah and his creation of the actions. The Mu'tazila, they affirm they did affirm the legal command and prohibition without affirming the qada and the qadr. They did affirm that Allah did command and Allah did does prohibit. And the one who disobeys, they said in that case, is doing it outside of the command and prohibition of Allah. And they negate the will of Allah, the legislative will of Allah, and they have negated the will of Allah, the universal will of Allah. And those people, which are the Jabriya, affirmed al-qada and al-qadr and al-qada, and negated the command and the prohibition with regard to the one who witnessed al-qadr, since they could not negate that in an absolute sense. So now this is about the al-Jabriya, the other group. This a group of the extremists in the opinions. They did affirm the qada and the qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did negate the command and prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said there is no command and prohibition. Everything is decreed by Allah, and whether the person would do evil or good is all decreed by Allah. And they say that their responsibilities and commands and accountabilities are waived, are not there. Especially from the special group of the believers. They are not accountable, they are not even commanded to do any of the commands. The statement of these people is worse than the statement of the Mu'tazila for this reason. Not a single one of these people was of a Salaf. So which is worse in this group? Is it the Mu'tazila or the Qadariya? Is it the Mu'tazila, the one that affirm Allah command and prohibition, and they negate the disobedience? Or is it the Jabariya, the one who would affirm the decree of Allah, but they negate the command and prohibition and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For the Mu'tazila, when they said that Allah never willed the disobedience or the sin, and the Mu'tazila, I mean, they go to the very extreme on the punishment of the one who sinned. And, and because of that, the Mu'tazila, despite those misunderstandings, they used to go to the extreme on worshipping Allah, but by the same. And they basically eliminate the one who sin, and they said the one, anyone that will do wrong is going to be eternal in the hellfire. That's unlike the Jabariya group, which say that everything is decreed by Allah, and every human is has to live by the command of Allah, by the decree of Allah. And therefore, there is no window for the command and prohibition, because everything is decreed and willed by Allah, according to them. So they went wrong and they went astray because of that. Therefore, there was nobody among the Salaf that is from the Qadariya nor from the Mu'tazila. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they always used to stick to the truth, to the haqq. And there were some of the tabi'een, the generation after the companions, that they were people suspected that they may be Qadariya in a way. Some of the tabi'een, that the people have suspected that they could be among the Qadariya. They've been described as being Qadari in their ideologies and thinking. And there are some other groups that basically said that was not right. Then none among the tabi'een was Qadariya. So some of the scholars of the tabi'een, some of them actually did slip in that way. And by saying that, they're saying that the disobedient is not something that willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people call them that these are the Qadariya, but they are not the extreme Qadariya. They were not. And even those tabi'ah from the tabi'een groups that are described as Qadariya, they were not like the Qadariya that are so extreme on their opinion and those beliefs. And none among the Salaf have got to the point where they basically eliminated any of the what the Qadariya has eliminated as far as the command and prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And overall, the talking by the Qadar is better than the Jabr. At the extreme among Qadariya, are not like the one who even negate the creation and the book and the pen and etc. And they are being described as the Qadariya, and they believed on what they believed in because their thinking and their comprehension became so narrow in many ways, and they came to have difficulty understanding how would Allah decree something and command something. Those people declare the command and prohibition upon the barred ones who have not witnessed the universal reality, and this is why they deem the one who has arrived at witness this reality as being unaccountable to the command and prohibition. They say that he has become one of the elite, and they may even conjure for the purpose of his saying. Allah says, and worship your Lord until there comes upon you the certainty or death. Again, the Qadariya, we said the Qadariya can be subdivided into extreme Qadariya, the one that negate even the creation of the book and the pen, and the less extreme Qadariya are the one that would negate the command of Allah upon the creation. And they would basically even abandon some of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, they abandon the prayer and the fasting and and Allah said here, and worship your Lord until it comes upon you the certainty. And the certainty here, it means death. In this case, yaqeen is death. And this is about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death came upon him. Until that, when he left this life and he was still worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was living according to the command of Allah by obeying Allah. He lived in the obedience of Allah. And therefore the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on the same direction. And yaqeen, that certainly that some of them explained as a level, that's never the case actually, but which means that it is a level that none among the companions of the Prophet would have reached it. But that's a wrong understanding to start with. I mean, the certainty or yaqeen in this verse is basically mean death. The certainty in their view is knowledge of reality. The saying of these people is unequivocal, kufr, although some sects fell into it without knowing that it is kufr. There may, some of them may fall into this, they don't even know that it is kufr to believe that the certainty that is mentioned in this ayah is this. It is known by necessity from the deen of Islam that the command and prohibition are binding upon every single abd so long as his sanity remains intact. As long as sanity remain intact, upon until he dies, the command and prohibition are never invalidated in his regard, not because of witnessing al-Qadr or any other matter. One who is unaware of this is to be taught and informed. If he persists in upholding the belief of the invalidation of the command and prohibition, he is to be killed. Somebody, for example, that he has some teacher who told him that there is a level of command. If you reach that level, then that the certainty that this verse is talking about, etc. That type of person has been misinformed, and they have to be taught the correct information. They have to be taught the truth in that regard. And that Muhammad, and you have to be taught that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with the Sharia that is for all mankind and jinn at the same time, for the whole universe. And the truth have to be explained to him. And if this person still insisted to uphold to the wrong conception or wrong understanding that he was taught in the first place, if he insisted to remain with this wrong ideologies, this to be killed. Same is for those who would call upon people with misinformation, have to be called in and asked to repent. And such similar doctrine and statements are numerous amongst the later generations. As for the predecessors of this ummah, this type of statements were not known amidst them. These doctrines are in opposition to Allah and His Messenger, animosity towards them, and obstruction towards His path, contention with Him, denial of His Messengers, antagonist to Him with regard to His rule, even though it may be possible that the one who professes such doctrine may be ignorant of this and believe that this path is upon is the way of the messengers and the way of the awliya of Allah, the people of tahqiq. Under such circumstances, he bears the resemblance to the person who believes that prayer is not obligatory over him because of his lack of need of it as a result of the state and experience of the heart. So these people get confused and mixed up in their understanding that some of the believers reach a high level where they basically no longer is being commanded to perform prayer, and that things that were unlawful are made lawful for them, etc. And some they said they became as vast as a sea or an ocean that has no limits. And the issue of ta'wil or understanding in this regard, like a man among from the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was recited that there is no blame on those who have were fed and drank before the revelation and they died as believers. So this verse described and this man has a misunderstanding of this verse. I mean, at the time of Umar, and Umar did bring this man in and did clarify to him and told him the right understanding of it. Because this man thought that by him being a good believer and by him the one who fought for the sake of Allah, then it's okay for him to still drink and do things that are unlawful. And Umar did clarify that to him, that was not the case. And then when he knew better, and when he knew the right information about this verse, he followed it. But according to the author, this, he said there are some people that, I mean, have even though they had the right understanding at some point, but they got confused at another. And these type of people have to be brought in, and matters have to be explained to them, and they have to be taught the truth and the right information. So we're not going to claim that they are kuffar or disbelievers until after we explain to them the right information and make sure that they know that what they believed in was wrong, So they have to be taught and things have to be explained to them. We will stop here for Maghrib, then we'll continue afterwards.